Welcome to Three in the Key. Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
With your hosts, Elias L. Zane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias L. Zane alongside Dave Tripp.
Yeah.
And Will Macklin.
What up, what up?
Hey, another packed episode for all you guys out there. Kevin Garnett, the big ticket, retires. Anthony Davis says he feels amazing after practicing for the Pelicans for the first time in 6 months. And he also said that he will not leave New Orleans. He's one of those old school guys. He's like, I want to stay here. I want to bring them a ring. It looks like Chris Bosh might retire, like medically be forced to retire. Pat Riley has gone out and said today that they are moving towards or leaning towards going forward without the return of Chris Bosh to the Miami Heat organization. Bosh fires his fires CAA as his representation. Andrew Wiggins is in the news. He said Canada has the second most talent after the U.S. Agreed. Internationally.
Yeah,
I would think so, although Canada flopped on its way to Rio 2016.
Yeah, you can't really say that. You didn't even play.
Yeah, I know you didn't play, but technically speaking, he is right, because come 2020 in Tokyo, and I think the next FIBA Americas tournament, Canada will most likely have, at least their starting five would be all NBA players, and most of the guys off the bench would be NBA players. Maybe you'll have one or two guys that are playing in Europe.
He's just saying talent-wise, maybe not winning-wise.
It's pretty easy for him to come out and say, though, like, Canada, oh yeah, if I were there, we would have done great.
But that translates into winning, though. After, like, the talent, like, you know, if he has the second most talent, should translate to winning. But we'll see. We're still a long way from Tokyo 2020. Harden promises he'll play better defense.
I heard that one before.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Giannis Antetokounmpo signs a $100 million extension with the Milwaukee Bucks. Dave's happy about that. And other Buck news, they traded Tyler Ennis, Canadian boy, who hasn't really had a fair shot at the beginning of his career in the NBA. Obviously got drafted by Phoenix, one pick ahead of when Toronto would have selected. People were saying that the Masai would have drafted him at that 20 slot. Instead, they took Bruno Caboclo there. And then after Phoenix, he got traded to Milwaukee. Didn't really play a lot there. It seemed like he was going to have an impact this year, or at least see the floor more. And now he's gone to Houston for Michael Beasley. Milwaukee obviously needing some wing players after Middleton goes down. And I think he'll get some time in Houston as a backup to Patrick Beverley, Tyler Ennis.
Yeah, well, there's a lot less of a logjam in front of him in Houston. I mean, there's no question yet. They brought in Dellavedova this year, still got Carter Williams. Apparently Antetokounmpo is going to play point guard this year. So where does Tyler Ennis slot in? He's not really capable of playing the two, which we saw in the pre-Olympic qualifier. He didn't look very good in that role. So in Houston, he's got a viable chance. Like, Patrick Beverley isn't an all-world point guard. I don't know. On my list, he may be at the bottom of that list.
Yeah, he's a really
starting
good defender.
Point guards in the NBA.
Yeah, he's just a really good defender. Been in Houston for a long time now. And played alongside Harden, and get along. But I think Tyler Ennis will be a good fit there. Hopefully,
yeah,
he'll see
short
the floor.
Of Philadelphia, I don't think there's a better fit for Tyler Ennis in the NBA right now.
And plus, with Harden playing defense now, I think that's,
wow, yeah,
that's huge.
All the difference.
Also, Paul Pierce announced today on the Player Tribune that he would retire, or not, he will retire after this season. So one more opportunity, hoping to bring a ring to Los Angeles for the Clippers alongside those guys.
I'd rather see him go back to Boston. One last year.
Yeah, I think that actually, honestly, you have more of a viable chance getting into the finals or even the Eastern Conference.
It's true.
I think
that is true, but it doesn't look like.
Is this one of those? It's one of those things where he's seeing in baseball that DJ and Poppy get that whole like circus of like getting gifts. I think the NBA is going to do that for Pierce, so I think that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, maybe after a long career.
I almost feel bad for KG and Tim Duncan that they didn't get like. Their day in the sun.
No, but they did it right, though.
Of course they did. I'm being facetious. Kobe, what were you thinking? Stretching this out.
Listen, I've mentioned this before. I think Kobe only did it because he knew the team was so trash and that he wasn't going to win 20. So, well, they won 17, I believe it was. And he's just going to announce his retirement. Everyone's going to be like, oh, wow, even though that's what happened. But now he said it, or during the year he said it, oh, this is going to be it for me. And then he had every game that the Lakers were playing were like, oh, this is Kobe's last game in Houston. It's his last game in Toronto. It's his last game in New York. So it was a big deal every time.
Right, last All-Star game.
Yeah, last All-Star game. Last this day. I had a tribute for him at the All-Star game.
When was his last playoff game, though? That's the important question.
Wow.
That's savage.
That is savage. But I think Kobe, if the team was competing and they went to the playoffs and they got knocked out in the playoffs or they won or whatever the case may be, he would have went out after. He would have said, like, Tim Duncan or KG, like, that's right. It for me. KG went back to Minnesota to teach those young kids and try to push Minnesota back to the playoffs, which they haven't made since he left. And originally, I think the plan for KG was to transition into ownership, but then Flip Saunders passed away. He didn't like the whole handling of Sam Mitchell getting dismissed. And then the ownership also sold some stakes. I think Glenn Taylor now has sold some stakes, and it doesn't look like maybe KG is going to be an owner or have anything to do with the Timberwolves, maybe something along the line of coaching later on, but I doubt it.
Well, you know, what do you guys think about this? Like, we just inducted one of the greatest Hall of Fame classes of all time. How does this one...
Of our generation, I guess.
Oh, of course. But, like, how does this one stack up? You're going to have three of the all-time greats in the same class.
Which will be amazing. And I think they deserve to be in the same class going in at the same time. They came in around the same time. Obviously, KG... being the first high school player in 20 years at the time to get drafted into the NBA. And then the next year, Kobe comes in. And I think the year after that is when...
Pierce came.
Tim Duncan.
Oh, Tim Duncan.
But Pierce is going to be retiring 1 year later.
Exactly.
So he has to wait an extra year before he can get inducted into the Hall, which he obviously will. But
yeah,
KG...
You almost forget 4 years at Wake Forest, eh?
Oh, yeah, for Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Crazy. And swimming. A lot of swimming. I think that's how he stayed young.
KG, Tim Duncan, and Kobe, basketball will never be the same. Like, other than Paul Pierce and Dirk Nowitzki, the two that come to my mind right away, who is left from, like, the 90s?
Yeah, exactly. There's none. And that's amazing.
Well, Alan Brand resigned for 1 year. I think he was drafted in 99 or 2000.
We mentioned Jason Terry.
Oh, yeah. Sure. But, guys to that magnitude that have... given so much of the game,
of course,
night in and night out, like Dirk and Paul Pierce.
Vince Carter's still in that conversation.
Oh, yeah, Vince is there. True, shout out to Vince. He spent lots of time
Memphis.
Up here in Canada.
But I was going back to KG, I mean, Doc even wanted him back. He wanted him in L.A. to help out with the Clippers. He's such a good teacher, and that's why he was with the Timberwolves. He's that player coach, like, and everyone, he surrounds everybody around him, and
Look what Carl Anthony Towns did last year. Exactly. I mean, rookie of the year, historic rookie season. He was phenomenal.
Well, think about
on the cusp of being a star in the NBA.
Well, go back to KG's career. Like, he was one of those guys in Minnesota where it's like he just couldn't get over that hump. Like, he was doing well, making the playoffs. He's an MVP there. And then what they're originally the starting, like the big three. They started it going to Boston before we saw LeBron and Bosh and Wade. There was Allen and Pierce in the big three party, the Boston three party. So that was huge there. So I and obviously he got his title and it was amazing. But he went back to Minnesota too, just like LeBron did. So it's so funny the correlations that they have, the similarities where people get on about the Heat, but he did it first. But they did it. He was like renowned for it. Like, hey, KG, you did all you could do here in Minnesota. Go get your ring.
Yeah, but I think he wanted to stay in Minnesota and win there, but it looked like the team was taking a rebuilding route, and he had no trade clause, so he had to approve anything that came his way if he was going to get traded. And then the Celtics had traded for Ray Allen on draft night, so that added a shooter to the squad with Paul Pierce, who was obviously an established star in the league, who's made the playoffs on his own and had some good year, obviously some great years in Boston. And then KG's like, okay, they have that. They have a young point guard in Rondo. Trade me up there to Boston. And that's what happened. And Carl Anthony Towns also said in his post there, you know, a lot of players have reached out to KG, you know, on Twitter. Oh, wow, true warrior. Great career, you know, sending their their respects, basically. And Towns said that he'll take it from here for Minnesota. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah. Also, guys, remember you can get a hold of us by email at the3nakee@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3nakee. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod, on Instagram at the3nakee. And you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes. And you can check everything out on our website at 3inthekee.ca. On today's program, we talk college basketball a little later. We're joined by Jack Armstrong, TSN color commentator for the Toronto Raptors, to discuss their upcoming season in the improved Eastern Conference. Also, Chris Bosh, who started his career out in Toronto for the first 7 years. So we'll get Jack's take on that. Also, KG, obviously, who he's seen for his career. And obviously, we'll get his thoughts on Duncan and Kobe, all these guys retiring. But we first start off with the man himself, Kevin Garnett, the big ticket, has decided to retire. 21 seasons in the NBA with Minnesota, Boston, and Brooklyn. KG has
Brooklyn
decided.
Brooklyn was his best times.
You think so?
Yeah. If I remember KG, I remember him as a net.
Okay. You got to hear first, folks. Will remembers the big ticket
as the net.
As a net.
Pre-Barclays Center, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Back when the tickets weren't that big.
They were at the Barclays.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Oh. All memorable, hard to imagine.
In the same season, we saw Kobe, Tim Duncan, and KG all retire. Obviously, basketball will never be the same again, but we're looking forward to this exciting year and more stars. But the big ticket, KG, the only player in NBA history, peep this, to have at least 25,000 points, 10,000 rebounds, 5,000 assists, 1,500 blocks, and 1,500 rebounds.
Not bad. Not bad.
You're all right.
Unbelievable career totals are 26,071 points, about 18 points per game, 14,662 boards, 10 boards per game, 5,445 assists, about 3.7 assists a night. An NBA champion with the Celtics in 2008, the same year he was the Defensive Player of the Year, anchoring that championship Celtic D, who, pause, beat the Lakers in six games that finals. MVP in 2004. 15-time All-Star, taking home MVP honors in the All-Star game in 2003. 9-time All-NBA selection, 4 first, 3 second, 2 third, 12-time All-Defense, 9 first-team selections, and 3 second. He's Minnesota's all-time leading scorer, 19,201 points. Gold medal for the U.S. in 2000 at Sydney. Probably the best trash talker of all time. Steven Adams even pretended not to speak English, so he avoided talking to Kevin Garnett on the court. Yes, true story. I think he's up there with Reggie Miller and Larry Bird. That's probably the best trash talkers.
Jordan. I was going to say Larry, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he said some foul things, man. That Charlie Villanueva, when he was talking to him when he was on the Raptors, there was a whole thing of him calling him a cancer patient and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. telling Carmelo Anthony his wife tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah, like these things are not, like, you're supposed to, like, but people would say these things, and these are not, like, the greatest things to say to people, but he was creative.
He was a savage.
Yeah, he was creative, and he did that.
One of the most durable guys to play in the league between 99 and 05. In a six-year period, he averaged 22 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, a block, and a steal a night while playing 39 and a half minutes.
Wow.
And only missing 3 games in those 6 years. The next stop will be the Hall of Fame for the big ticket.
I think so.
He's like a bit of a cyborg, eh? Like, athletically, the guy's always been on another level. Like, almost like what we're seeing with LeBron now.
Yeah.
But this guy comes out of high school.
He
and
the
just,
same, obviously, like, same skill set as LeBron, but for his size.
Definitely. But, I mean, even still, I mean, you're talking about 4 assists a game for his career.
Like, yeah.
He was a versatile player.
And a high school kid.
Yeah.
So that's, should we go back to high school is what I'm saying.
But, like, just another level of athlete. I mean, the guy was... He had this skinny, skinny frame, like almost like KD.
Oh yeah, you remember his first year, like.
But the guy is unstoppable. Listen to those numbers; it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's awesome to see KG. I mean, I thought maybe one more year. I was thinking honestly, I don't know why they pushed him out, but I thought maybe one more year of a coach. I thought Tibbs would love him on the team. Just I mean, the minutes he was getting was not very many, but I think just to have that presence there was huge. And I thought. Him having that maybe the same year retiring with Pierce would have been very cool just because of what they did. I mean, Allen technically hasn't retired yet, right? Maybe they should go out at the same time.
Yeah, we'll see. It looks like Ray Allen might be making a comeback, but he's just waiting for that opportunity. But KG,
pick Golden State is a likely scenario.
Yeah, Golden State, maybe Cleveland.
They need some help with their shooting.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they're not really well-rounded in that area.
KG, man, I don't know what else we can say about him. Fierce competitor. He gave it his all every night, no matter who was up against him. He went out there and killed it. I saw him just in a preseason game not too long ago, a few years ago here in Ottawa, against the Raptors. And he was talking a lot of trash, words that I cannot repeat on this podcast, especially to Anthony Bennett, man. I kind of felt sorry for the guy. Because he used to play for the Timberwolves, and then it was the 1 year after when he had just joined the Raptors, and he was talking so much trash. KG, like, barely even played in the game. I don't even remember if he got on the court. But he was crazy in that department, and no one said anything to Kevin Garnett because, you know, he backed it up with, obviously, his game.
You know what, though? KD was a bully, for real.
Definitely.
Like, this guy was, ugh. I wouldn't want to be his teammate. I mean, I would when I'm lifting the trophy, but, like, man, the stuff he'd have to put up with, like, Rondo got it hard.
Yeah.
There are a lot of players. If you're a young player on Kevin Garnett's team, look out.
Yeah, at that time, definitely.
I think it's not just carrying the bags to the bus, you know? This is
there's more than that. It's, like, a lot of heckling. And the thing about KG, too, is he's not going to be on a lot of people's top five, like, all time. If he's making a starting five, he's not in that category. Like, obviously, we're going to put Tim Duncan in that power forward slot, And that's the other thing. He might be in a second, like a second.
But that's where I've seen a lot of debates over the past couple of days now since KG announced his retirement. And a lot of people saying he's better than Tim Duncan.
Really?
I don't know.
Again, like, I hate having to say this, but it comes back to the rings. And, like, I know that he didn't play in the same scenario. Like, obviously KG didn't get drafted on a David Robinson's team.
Right.
But I mean,
it's definitely different surroundings, obviously.
You look at what Tim Duncan did over the course of his career in that franchise. It's his franchise. It's got his fingerprints all over it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know if the Timberwolves are KG's franchise, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
I think
it's
that,
Kevin Love's.
Yeah, of course. Wow, agreed. I was going to say Wally Szczerbiak.
No, I think they are KG's franchise, but I think this next generation of Towns and Wiggins can make it theirs if they stay there and develop and...
Oh,
the superstars that we think. But I think KG, unfortunately, it was always like second round. I think they made it to the West Finals maybe once or twice.
Yeah, once.
In his tenure there and in his first time in Minnesota. Obviously, his second time, they didn't even make the playoffs and haven't made it since he first left to go to Boston. But he went to two NBA Finals with the Celtics, winning one of them. So he did get his ring. But I would, you know... KG carries himself on the court differently than Tim Duncan did. He's more vocal on the court. He's in your face. Tim Duncan does it, like, quietly. Man, I think, but it's hard. It depends what kind of guy you want to play with, right? They're both great guys. But career-wise, if we had to pick one, it would have to be Tim Duncan.
I'd have to go with him, too. Like, I just can't turn down
what he's done. Yeah. Two-time MVP, five rings, three-time finals MVP. The list goes on for Tim Duncan. He's the all-time leading scorer in the Spurs history.
Yeah, listen back to our show. We did a whole show on him.
Exactly. It was really good, but KG, the big ticket, hanging him up.
Here's a question for you. So let's say Chris Bosh, let's say his career is over. I mean, we don't want to get that far ahead right now. Is that the Hall of Fame class right there? Is Chris Bosh a guaranteed Hall of Famer first ballot? What do you think?
If he retires this year? Yeah, he'll be in with those guys, right?
I don't think he.
I don't know.
Wait, not initially. Not the first year he's.
No, because like, you would have. You cannot pass KG.
11-time All-Star, 2-time champ.
But you cannot pass KG, Tim Duncan, and Kobe. They've done way more than Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh was on those Miami teams. That's why he has two rings. But obviously, he was an All-Star. He killed it in Toronto. He would average.
Leading
you know,
scorer in Raptors history.
Yeah, he'd average close to 25 and 10 a night.
Yeah.
So he could do it on his own, and he's done it with Toronto, but you know they never got out of the first round.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just that I don't know if he's not a first ballot, you know, when he's eligible.
Well, I think he gets in for sure eventually. I don't know if it's
that year. Yeah.
Well, let's see if he even retires. What about, okay, he doesn't go back to Miami, but another team picks him up?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe Dallas was still in love with him. Like, I'm sure Cuban would take a shot on him.
Cuban's busy at the debate.
Exactly. He's front row
front
there
row
tonight.
Seat, baby.
Oh, man. So that, yeah, Kevin Garnett retires. Let us know what you think about the big ticket. You can email us at the3nikki@gmail.com. Obviously, tweet us at basketball or comment on our Facebook page at 3 in the Key and let us know, or on Instagram at the3nikki. Let us know what you think about Kevin Garnett and his career. We'll be back right after the break with Jack Armstrong of TSN to talk Raptors.
In spite of the interesting haircut, get that garbage out of here.
He looks fierce with that haircut.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
No, 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 no. Get that garbage out of here. It's my Dikembe Mutombo imitation.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key. Elias Alzain alongside Will Macklin and Dave Tripp. We're now joined by Jack Armstrong, TSN color commentator for the Toronto Raptors. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Glad to be on.
Perfect. We just heard some news that Chris Bosh is most likely done, or Pat Riley is moving forward to with the organization, that they're not leaning towards getting Chris Bosh back. What could you say about Chris Bosh? Obviously, he started his career in Toronto for the first 7 years. He's still the all-time leading scorer. What could you say about Chris and his old career so far?
Well, Chris has had a terrific career and, you know, probably borderline Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, with this setback, you just don't know how that affects things in terms of statistics and how voters look at him. But, I mean, based upon what he's done to this point in his career, he was well on his way to an opportunity to be considered strongly for the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's a, you know, had the opportunity to get to know Chris in his time at Toronto. He's a real gentleman, smart guy, outstanding player. And you know, I was happy for the success that he had in Miami. I think he, you know, sacrificed a lot in terms of things that maybe if he had stayed in Toronto in terms of points scored, rebounds, and all those kind of things, and probably more money, in order to play on a team that he felt that he had the best chance to win a championship, and obviously had an opportunity to go 4 straight finals and win 2 of them. He's, you know, he's had a great career, so I'm hopeful that his health is the most, you know, gets back to where it needs to be, and maybe he's able to get on the court. And if he's not able to get on the court, you know, that he enjoys a long, happy life with his family. He's got a young family, and, you know, I really respect what Dwayne Wade said the other day and said, hey, you know, put your family first. And in a situation like this, you're talking about a guy who's made a lot of money in his career, and as long as he's done a good job managing his finances, you know, he's set for life, as are his kids. So, you know, that stuff is a lot more important than playing. And I'm hoping that he's okay. And again, he's you know, he's in a good place. So I think the biggest thing right now is his health. And I totally appreciate and respect the position that the Miami Heat have taken. And I think too often now teams are getting slammed by the media and by fans for putting themselves first and the players second. This is clearly an example of a team that has the interests of their player at heart.
Raptors are coming off a historic season. They won 56 games, made it all the way to the East Finals, where they pushed the Cavs to 6 games before losing. Training camp begins tomorrow in Burnaby, British Columbia. I know it's early to predict, but what are you expecting from them, and what do you think the team's expectations are?
Well, everything's always based upon health, right?
Yes.
And that's such a huge thing. So, I mean, I wish if I had a crystal ball, I'd be a pretty smart guy. But, I mean, you know, if they're healthy, they got a good team. You know, with all due respect to Toronto and, you know, the other 27 teams in the league, you know, you clearly have a pecking order. You have the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers in one tier. And I think there's probably a few other tiers, and I would say the Raptors are in tier 2, along with the Boston Celtics and, you know, L.A. Clippers and San Antonio Spurs as that next group of teams. And I'm sure 2 or 3 others will emerge and settle into tier two, and then you have tier three of teams that are going to be fighting, scratching, and clawing to get into the playoffs in the last few spots, and then you have tier four, which is teams that are just in a rebuilding, restructuring mode. So I think they're in a good place, and they have a very stable ownership situation, stable management, stable coaching. So a tremendous fan base, one of the great jobs in the NBA. And, so I feel like they're in a really good position. And if they can stay healthy, they can have a very, very good season. Will they win 56 games? Will they win 48 or 49 like they did the 2 years prior to that? I have no idea. But if they're healthy, they'll be in that ballpark again.
So, Jack, we've been talking about the Raptors and how they can advance on next season and how they can obviously move forward from what they did last year, which was an incredible year. Hosting the All-Star game and really pushing their exposure south of the border and getting people to know that the Raptors are for real. Now, they lost Bismack Biyombo. He's a big part of their playoff success this year, and it seems like they're kind of replacing him with Jared Sollinger, who they got from the Celtics. He's going to fit into that power forward center role off the bench. How do you see that impacting the roster this season?
Well, if I'm Jared Sollinger and I look around and see all the money that got thrown around this past summer, and I look around and say, you know what, next summer the money is going to be as good, if not better. I'm going to make sure I'm in the greatest shape of my life this season, and I'm going to be determined and focused and hungry to have tremendous success. So I think if Jared Sollinger really wants to benefit tremendously come July 1st of 2017 on the first day of free agency, he'll come in and have the same kind of magical one-year run that Bismack Biyombo did in Toronto. And if he's able to do that, it benefits him tremendously and good for him. And I'm happy for Biz that the money he got in Orlando. And I think more importantly, it'll benefit the Toronto Raptors because you're getting a focused guy to do that. I think Sollinger is an upgrade on Luis Scola. Scola gave him a tremendous year. At the same time, I think you could see there's some wear and tear there, and he's an older player, but he's a great pro. And I think that they're not going to be maybe as good with the interior shot blocking rebounding as they were with Biyombo. But there's a lot of ways to skin a cat and figure out ways to win, and I think Sollinger can really help them.
Now, the Knicks, the Celtics, the Pacers, they all added some talent this year. The Raptors, other than signing Sully there, they stayed pretty much quiet for this offseason. Where do you rank them right now in the East? And do you see them competing for a title again like last year? Maybe going over the hump, that Cavs hump, or maybe the Cavs just kind of glide again this year in the East?
Well, I think the Cavs will glide. If they stay healthy, they're by far the best team in the East. But I do think the Raptors and the Celtics in particular, those would be the two teams that I really think, if they're healthy, can make a lot of noise. And again, there'll be a few other teams that emerge. Indiana, you mentioned, maybe the Knicks, if they're all healthy. They have a lot of guys with an injury history, though. And I think Detroit is going to be real solid. I'm curious to see how Atlanta kind of redefines itself now with Dwight Howard there instead of Al Horford. And I'm a huge Al Horford fan. I think he's a big acquisition for Boston. And I think Toronto will be right in the mix. Do I think they're a team that can get to the NBA Finals? I think it's going to be awfully hard with Cleveland in their way. On the other hand, a lot comes down to just how things mature and grow. And you're going to need a Damari Carroll to be healthy this year. I mean, he really wasn't all that healthy the entire year. You really didn't get to see what he can truly do. Can Jonas Valanciunas and Terrence Ross take another step? Do they have that other guy? I think they have eight guys that have a legitimate, proven body of work as pros, and that's Kyle Lowry, Corey Joseph, DeMar DeRozan, Damari Carroll, Patrick Patterson, Jared Sollinger, Jonas Valanciunas, Terrence Ross. Those eight. But you're going to need a ninth guy and a tenth guy. Can Norman Powell be a consistent pro? I mean, we've seen some good flashes of him in the spring and even in the summer league. And then obviously you take another step and you look at a guy like, Bebe, Lucas Nogueira, or maybe one of their young front court draft picks. They're going to need someone to play some front court minutes, and they're going to need another wing guy because you don't have James Johnson anymore. So can Norman Powell be that guy? Can one of your bigs be that other big guy now that Scola and, you know, Biombo have left? You brought Sullinger in, but you need another big. Who's that going to be? So I think player 9 and 10, it's going to be critical to see how that thing, that whole thing emerges. And more importantly, I think just can a guy like Damari Carroll get healthy and be productive?
Well, news came out today that he is not 100% and that his minutes will be monitored starting, I guess, with training camp and into preseason. We'll see how that translates.
Yeah, no, it's a big concern.
Yeah,
it's a big
definitely.
Concern. And you know, they gave him a lot of money. And, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, you want to be delicate and you want to handle things right. And at the same time, I think it's going to be vital. If they're going to take another step, they need a legitimate starting three. And even though there were times he did play, only was it a rare instance where he actually showed what he can do. So I was a big fan of his in Atlanta. And, you know, again, if he can play and they can kind of ease him into the season, it doesn't matter what happens on September 26th, but it sure does matter what happens, you know, when we get to October 26th, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and he was kind of labeled the guy that the LeBron stopper, or at least someone that can disrupt LeBron a little bit and give him some difficulty on the offensive end. Speaking with Jack Armstrong, TSN color commentator for the Toronto Raptors. Now, Jack, DeMar DeRozan signed a huge extension this offseason to stay in Toronto, and that was always his intention to do so. He didn't really look at other teams, and when he met with Toronto right away, they agreed to terms and signed a big, big deal. Obviously, he means a lot to the organization in the city. He's had a good season, but his production, you know, kind of goes down in the postseason. What do you expect from him this year? Does he take his game to the other level? Does he improve on that three-point shooting? Do we see more of that? Obviously, he's been a guy that gets to the line quite frequently and amongst the top in the league up there with James Harden. And do you think critics will be harder on him because of that big contract if we see him dip down in production? Obviously, you know, it means more in the postseason.
Well, there's a lot going on there with that question.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I want him to be who he is. And I think there's too much emphasis on three-point shooting and not enough on winning. I don't care how you win, just find a way to win.
Okay.
And, you know, the fact that you're only a low 30% three-point shooter, I'm sure he's going to put the time in and has put the time in to improve it. He'll shoot it as well as he can possibly shoot it. But that's not his game. He'll, you know, and I'll never forget this. Everyone used to tell Vince Carter he had to become a better three-point shooter. But in my opinion, it took away from what made him great. He was a slasher. DeMar DeRozan's a slasher. He's not Ray Allen. He's a slasher. You know, he's a mid-range guy who's post-ups, slashes, and gets to the free throw line. That's his game. That's what he'll always be. So be that. You know, critics in terms of money and not producing, well, if Damari Carroll's healthy, if Jared Sullinger's able to play well, if Jonas Valanciunas and Terrence Ross take their game to another level, just even a half notch better, and a kid like Norman Powell continues to be consistent, there might not be as many shots for a guy like DeRozan. So maybe his numbers will dip. I really don't care if they dip. I care if he can, on a consistent basis, be a solid guy that helps them win, and he's done that. And I think a part of the problem that he and Kyle Lowry had in the playoffs was the fact that a lot of it comes down to who's around you. And you need consistent three-point shooting threats around you, guys that can actually consistently make shots around you, that people that, you know, that when they have opportunities that they produce. So, you know, teams aren't dumb. They know, hey, man, I'm going to load up my defense on Lowry and DeRozan, and we're going to make the other guys beat us. And there were a lot of nights they couldn't do that, and it made Lowry and DeRozan look bad. And in my opinion, the best way for the Raptors to get better is the people I mentioned, that, you know, if those guys produce, then you'll see a very efficient Kyle Lowry and you'll see a very efficient DeMar DeRozan.
So, Jack, a lot of attention this year has been to the Raptors actually having a lottery pick for the first time in several years. They've had a string of success in the last little while, and they were able to get Jakob Poeltl in the with the ninth pick in this year's draft. Now, obviously, every year we get a couple of rookies through the draft, and Norman Powell was a great surprise in the second round. This guy's a pretty highly touted pick. Do you expect good things from him in the short term?
I'm not expecting a whole lot in the short term. What I am expecting is in the long term, because I think he's a gifted player, and I loved him in college at Utah. But I think there's going to be a significant, transition period, as there is for most young big men, into the NBA. I mean, does he have superstar talent where he's going to come in and just impact every game, every night? I don't see that. But I do see a guy that could end up being very good. So it's just a matter of patience. And as I said before, I think, if everybody's healthy, you have a good eight-man rotation there that you know that you kind of have a good feel for what guys can do. And, Norman Powell, I think, is really pushing to be that ninth guy. So I think a guy like Poeltl, is he going to push a guy like Bebe, Lucas, Nogueira, and be, which one of those guys is going to be that 10th guy, that backup five?
Do you think they took him as maybe a bit of an insurance policy in case Valanciunas doesn't pan out to the player they want him to be?
No. I think when you give a guy 4 years, $64 million, you have a pretty good feel for what you think the guy is going to do for you. And I think they feel pretty confident that Valanciunas is going to be a good to very good player for them. Do I think, again, is he going to be a superstar in this league? I don't see that, but I see a guy who can be really good. And I think he's on that path. I mean, he showed some really good things in the playoffs against Indiana and Miami before he got hurt. And he's maturing, and I think the light's really starting to come on. Now, I know he had kind of a difficult time in the Olympics with Lithuania, but I watched those games, and quite frankly, I don't know what the Lithuanian coach was talking about, ripping Valanciunas, because I'm watching the games, and the kid's running around setting screens for everybody and never getting the ball. You know, it's awfully hard to be really productive when you're not involved. And I think for the Raptors this year, for them to continue to grow, you want to make sure that this kid has a bigger piece of the puzzle in terms of what you're doing. So I'm sure there'll be more of an emphasis this year of bringing him along. But, no, I think Poeltl's more of an insurance against Lucas Nogueira than he is Valanciunas. I mean, Valanciunas is their starting five man. End of story. It's more about depth, and do you have a guy that can back up at the five? And that's going to be the big challenge between a guy like Poeltl and Nogueira.
Another young guy that they have on the roster, Jack Bruno Caboclo, who's been there for a couple of years now. Obviously, he was picked for the future, too, down the line in the draft at 20th overall. Hasn't played much in the NBA, but played a lot last year for the D-League team, the Raptors 905. He put up some decent numbers, 15 and 6, and just under 2 assists. Is this the year we see more of him? Do you think he's ready for the NBA, maybe as a backup three-man?
Going to be hard. Again, if Damari Carroll's healthy, and if Norman Powell continues to emerge, and if Terrence Ross can find some degree of consistency, I don't know if there's a lot of minutes there for Bruno Caboclo. I think it's going to be tough, but I think that's a good thing. I think it's a really good thing. He's got to earn his minutes, and the minutes he does get aren't going to be a gift. They're going to be earned. And I think it's been a good situation for the Raptors. I think it really helped Delon Wright and Norman Powell and Lucas Nogueira and Bruno Caboclo to be in a winning situation where nothing's handed to you. And with a coach who's outstanding, who really challenges people to do things the right way, and there's accountability and professionalism, I think you become a better pro with better habits that way. So I'm hoping to see this young man just gradually kind of find a level of consistency and figure out what he is as a player. And then during the course of the season, there will always be situations where someone gets sick, someone gets hurt, there's fatigue, there's whatever it is, situations change at some point, and he's going to get a shot. And I don't know when that shot could be. It could be game 27, it could be game 37, it could be game 51, but he's going to get his shot. And when he gets it, he's got to be ready to do it. But I think going into the regular season in game one, I don't know if he's a guy that's going to be on the radar as one of the top 9-10 guys.
Now, Jack, we're going to lean away from the Raptors quickly here. And we were just talking first segment, but three big guys for our generation that we watched play retired this year now. Duncan, Kobe, of course, and now Kevin Garnett as well just this weekend. Those guys are huge, and we lose all of them. How is this going to impact basketball, or how they impacted basketball in the past? This is just a review of their careers and now going forward.
Well, I think it's great. Number one, I think it's healthy for the game. And, you know, at some point, guys have to retire, and it's happened in every sport at all times. So it's a celebration of those three guys. I mean, you know, the Kobe thing never ended. And I'm worn out by it. I mean, he was a great, great, great player. And I think Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett kind of speaks a lot about them, how they handled their retirements. Garnett on a Friday afternoon, on a weekend, you know, kind of just disappears into the sunset. And Duncan did it even with more humble approach. So I just think that all three of those guys were just fabulous, fabulous credit to the game and the organizations that they played for, and it's pretty refreshing that Kobe and Duncan played for their same team their entire career, and with the exception of KD's run KG's run, excuse me, with the Celtics, you know, the only other place was obviously Minnesota on two different occasions. So it was really cool to see the career that he had. And all three guys, I think the thing that jumps out to me is their intensity, their maturity, their professionalism, you know, how diligent they were as workers, how coachable they were. And congratulations. I mean, it was a tremendous run for them. And I'm very confident that we have some great young players in our league now that will pick up the mantle and carry it forward.
Thank you so much, Jack Armstrong, TSN color commentator for the Toronto Raptors, for joining us on 3 in the Queue. We appreciate it.
Guys, my pleasure, and have a great night, and look forward to chatting soon.
Thank you.
Welcome back to 3 in the Queue.
Hello, and welcome back inside the Queue. Elias Olsen alongside Dave Tripp and Will Macklin. Fantastic conversation we just had with Jack Armstrong.
What a legend.
Legend. Get that garbage out of here, people.
Get that garbage out of here.
Now we'll, before we wrap things up for today's episode, we want to talk a little NCAA college basketball. They announced a big tournament that will kick off next year in 2017 over Thanksgiving weekend. That is American Thanksgiving weekend, so it would be sometime in November. Phil Knight Invitational, and it's going to be full of talented teams, well, big schools, basically. 16 teams. In the tournament, it's called the Phil Knight Invitational, the founder of Nike. And there's going to be Duke and North Carolina who represent the ACC, Michigan State, Ohio State there for the Big Ten. And the other teams include Florida, Arkansas, Oregon, Stanford, Texas, Oklahoma, Georgetown, Butler, Gonzaga, UConn, Portland, and Portland State. So obviously a huge tournament, basically two separate eight-team tournaments. And it's going to be held in two different Portland arenas. And then, you know, bracket style, probably the biggest tournament other than NCAA, the March Madness. So that's going to be good. But one team that's missing, Dave's team, and Dave, our college expert, Kentucky will not be there.
I got to say, I'm not very happy about it. My guy Cal is really blowing it here. He tweeted immediately after this came out, after the Phil Knight Invitational was open. And I'm very excited for this tournament. Like, whether Kentucky's there or not.
Next year, but yeah.
Well, yeah, hey, regardless. We forecast far into the future as college guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're looking at Michigan State, Duke, Oregon. There's going to be some really good teams at this. But why isn't Kentucky there? Also, Arizona, Villanova, Xavier, all missing the tournament. Bo Murray will be crushed.
Yeah, so sad for him.
But, I mean, Cal, what are you doing, man? Like, scheduling conflict already? He's tweeting out that there's a scheduling conflict.
Already? In a year already?
I'm worried about Kentucky's recruiting. How's this gonna affect it?
Yeah, I know.
If I'm an 18-year-old player playing my last year in high school. I want to play in this tournament next year.
Yeah, I know. It's true. It's a Pacific tournament. Is it only teams that are sponsored by Nike that are allowed to go?
That's correct.
That's kind of held back a lot of teams, doesn't it? Like, that's too bad. Like, a lot of ACC teams have some other guys. Like, obviously, North Carolina, different team. Like, a lot of these
but
guys
North Carolina
are not all Nike.
North Carolina is there. Even, but they're Jordan. Nike is kind of the same thing. But really, does a kid look at, oh, they're not going to be in this tournament, so I'm not going to go there? Does it really have a big effect? I don't think so.
I think it depends on how off the bat this tournament goes. Obviously, this is going to be the big tournament that opens the season. And
definitely,
I think that's huge if you bookend the tournaments, right? They, you know, I mean, you have the Maui Invitational, you have the NIT, but like this one's really going to be the one that opens the show.
Yeah, and it's the first ever one. It's the first ever Phil Knight Invitational.
I think
it'll take place next year.
We're going to call it the PKI.
That's what they call the PK80. But I think that this might actually have a big impact on high school recruiting, because in high school, you pretty well pick what shoe company you're going to be working with, right?
Yeah.
The shoe companies come into your high school, whether it's Under Armour, Adidas, Nike, they come in and they recruit you and they say, you can go to these schools. This is going to say to a lot of kids, hey, if I go to a Nike school, I'm going to get premium exposure right off the bat.
Yeah.
I think that could be a big difference. And you look at what Under Armour is doing, signing Steph Curry. You look at the big signings that Adidas made in the offseason. They got just about every first-round draft pick. Like, I don't know. Nike may be trying to make their own splash here.
Yeah, get them early. But is that even allowed under NCAA rules? Don't they have, like, stupid rules where
make suggestions.
You're not allowed to accept, like, lunch from a friend?
Right.
So I think that's – but I'm looking forward to it. Hey, man, I love college
basketball. Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not an expert like Dave on it, but these kind of tournament-style games I love, and obviously it gets you warmed up for the regular season. There's always going to be big games, the rivalry week later on.
And we heard Coach Calipari talking about moving the SEC tournament to the beginning of the season. Maybe that takes care of that. It gets you that premium competition earlier in the year where you can really test. And, I mean – away you go. Then you've got your rankings. They're legitimate.
That's
on best competition.
And then you end it all with the 64-team tournament.
Yeah.
The biggest tournament in sports. The best tournament in sports.
Agreed.
Everyone gets glued to their TV for March and beginning of April to watch all these college kids go at it and to determine a winner, which is always amazing. But Villanova has run into some trouble as well. They're defending champs, right, Dave?
Yeah, Omari Spellman, their five-star center, academically ineligible. No good.
Oh, no, what happened?
He's got to wait until 20. Well, he's, I don't know, kid can't read. No, I don't know. He didn't pass the test. You know, it's a tough draw. I couldn't imagine.
Those tests are so easy, aren't they?
Well, they got rid of the African studies and things like that at North Carolina.
That was sad.
The freebies.
I mean, they should just let these kids play. They're only going to be there for a year and then go off to the NBA or try to play, I guess, somewhere professionally. Only a few stay for the 4 years.
You know what the worst part is? He's actually enrolled in the school. He's just not academically eligible to play basketball. So he's still going to be a student. He's still taking that spot from a prospective student at Villanova.
Right. Oh, okay.
A prospective scholarship kid.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, well, I can barely say scholarship, so.
Did you graduate?
Don't look that up.
Remember, guys, you can always get a hold of us at the3andthekey@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3 and the Key. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod, on Instagram at the3andthekey. And you can listen to each and every episode, including this one, on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio. Rate and review us on iTunes. You can check out our website. Everything will be on there at 3andthekey.ca. That wraps it up for us. For Dave Tripp and Will Macklin, I'm Elias Elzane. Peace.
In the words of KG, anything is possible!
Like a Bosch.